Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Lovely introduction. Hi, I'm Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. Thank you to Lisa in Hawaii. There's two Lisas here. Lisa invited me to speak. Thank you so much. This isn't actually a bad time for me. It's 5 o'clock. I look a little bit different than when you see me at 7 a.m. in the morning. You know, I'm up and about and I'm going out for a friend's birthday after this. So it's supposed to be a program of attraction. So hopefully I look more attractive than I did at 7 a.m. this morning when a lot of us were together. So I was thinking, you know, what am I going to say? Sometimes I write down notes, I have pages. And one of the things that Elizabeth said was tradition five. And as some of my sponsees know who are here, I love the contents in the AA 12 and 12. I love it. And we always read through at the beginning of every single chapter. And so what is tradition five? Each group has but one primary purpose. So that's us as a group here, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And then it goes on and gives me a little nugget here. Better to do one thing well than many badly. The life of our fellowship depends on this principle, the ability of each AAOA to identify himself with and bring recovery to the newcomer is a gift from God. Passing on this gift to others is our one aim. Sobriety can't be kept unless it is given away. So that's a very strong warning to me. And today I was listening to an AA speaker that I have this group chat with my sponsees and we put different recovery things in there. And this man who spoke, and he was just wonderful, he had decades of AA, he said, my question for you today is, what are you doing with this gift? So I don't know about you, but when I came here, I would have told you, I'm not selfish, I'm not self-centered, I'm so nice. Didn't you see that lovely birthday present I just bought you? But that wasn't the truth, right? Because that's a selfish and self-centered and very egotistical thing to say. I came here, by the way, because I know a lot of you, but a lot of you I don't believe I know. I came in and out of these rooms from the 80s to 26 years ago. Last weekend was when I finally put down the fork, picked up the steps, built a relationship with God, and I have had a sponsor ever since then. I know there are a lot of people who say, well, it doesn't use the word sponsor anywhere in the big book. You're correct, it doesn't. But as soon as you open the AA 12 and 12, which is 20 years after they had the experience from writing the big book, the word sponsor is everywhere. And I did Google around as to how many times, but now I'm not going to start futzing with all the pieces of paper. We're just going to let God take this and wherever we go. And whatever you don't hear, come back next week. So one thing from the very beginning of the book is we are told to give this away. And we're told to give it away kindly and lovingly. That is my interpretation. Even from the very beginning in the forward to the fourth edition at the very end, it says that we speak the language of the heart in all its power and simplicity. So when people say to me, well, how do you sponsor? What are your expectations? Well, I don't have expectations. And how I sponsor is as directed from out of the big book. The one thing I ask is you respect my time, I respect your time. Please be on time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So if somebody else thinks that's an expectation, oh well. So in the front page of the doctor's opinion on this first page, he tells us that they were, you know, as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics. So right away, Bill knew that he had to give this away. And that was drummed into me from day one. And I'm going to be very honest with you, I won't sponsor anybody who won't sponsor. Even if they tell me at the very end, well, I'm just not going to sponsor, I don't have time. But we're going to be having a little chat about that. Because if you've got time for social media and Netflix and for all the gossip with the neighbors, you've got time to give this away. And perhaps that will ease up all of those other things that we divert ourselves away from God. And I know for me, I have to stay here in the center of the herd. And Dr. Bob reminds us in his story of why he does this, why he did do this. And it's the same thing here for me. And there are these four points he makes on page 181. It's a sense of duty. Somebody took me to a meeting in the early 80s, leaving a workout class. Come to this meeting. I had no choice. I had no car. I had to go is the bottom line. But that was God. That was God. Never saw that woman again until 5 years ago. And she planted a seed that saved my life. Saved my life. Which is a pleasure. And that is the truth. It really, really is. You know, people come and go in these rooms. We see people, we work with them, we don't. But there's always a special place in my heart for them. And because in doing so, I'm paying back my debt to the man, woman who took time to pass it on to me. And in my case, it's somebody called Stacy. And that is gratitude in action. And because every time I do it, I take out a little bit more insurance for myself against a possible slip. So all throughout the big book, it tells me that resentment is the number one offender. I can be riddled with all kinds of impediments that will keep me blocked from God. But if I keep on doing this work as it's outlined, I have a fighting chance. And I've always had a sponsor ever since I put the fork down. There's never been a time that I have thought personally that I'm too special to have one. I need a North Star, not just God. I need all of you, and I need somebody who really knows me, and I need people who pull me up on my crap because I can have a lot of it at times. And then, you know, we heard this whole story about Bill, right? We went for 8 pages with him while he disintegrated, and it's painful. And if you are, you know, a food addict like I am, you get it. You know what it's like. You know, it gets worse, never better. You know, it is progressive in nature. And for me, there is nowhere else to go. And I threw loads of money at this. And even if you can't sponsor today, we are all being of service here. You are working with another human, whether you are Zoom patrolling, whether you're writing your number in the chat, returning a call. So there are many ways to be of service until you and your sponsor, however you do it, decide that you're ready to sponsor. And Bill said on page 14, while I lay in the hospital, so you can imagine his whole life has blown up, right? They've got no money, nothing. They've lost everything. And this is really God to me entering our hearts. The thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They in turn might work with others. So immediately, right here we go. We start to build this chain. Here we go with the circle going around and around. And he also knew that if he didn't do it, if he did not work, that's step 12, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. I always say that £250 would be gone in the blink of an eye. Gone in the blink of an eye, and I wouldn't know who I was, and you know, wouldn't know who I am. Because again, this is permanent, progressive, and fatal, and the fatality is heartbreaking. So, you know, all throughout the book, there's also, I did find this wonderful statement from AA. There was a pamphlet in AA in 1944 that Clarence S. wrote. He was one of the first people in the rooms, their sponsorship pamphlet. I don't know if this quote is still in there, but I thought this was lovely. Any AA who has not experienced the joys and satisfaction of helping another alcoholic regain his place in life has not yet fully realized the complete benefits of this fellowship. I think that's just lovely. So, again, that's from the AA sponsorship pamphlet. So, what does it mean to sponsor? You know, it tells me that, well, there's a whole chapter here, right? And it tells me how to do it. So I don't have to make anything up. I have a lot of opinions in life, but you really don't need to hear them because, again, when I work on my own opinions, I weigh 250 pounds and I wear a size 26 dress. So who needs to hear how I think you should run your life? And we all hear carry the message. What is the message? This is the message. This is the message, everything in here. They told us they would give us everything so that no further authentication would be needed. And in the beginning, they only worked with those who were desperate and drowning. That's what it talks about in the AA 12 and 12, because again, when this was first printed, it was 1953. So they had learned a lot by then. And we all go and we grow. I sponsor very differently to how I did 26 years ago. I thought if you did badly, what a reflection on me. No, not at all, right? I'm not, I always tell people, it's okay. If you're not hearing from me what you want, I'm not your cup of tea, that's okay. Just don't leave the rooms. I'm not going to retire any earlier. You're not going to make me sit in the back of the room. It's an even playing field here. There are no superstars, but yet there are, right? So anyone who has worked these steps is competent to take your hand and take you through. And I always tell people from the first minute that I work with them, One of the reasons I'm a fan of the bigger print book is because you can write in all of the margins. And I know we have all those study versions, but for me, they're a little bit difficult because the pages just kind of go off a little bit. And I mean, I've got notes written everywhere, right? It's all over the place. My pages, I know I always tell you I'm going to get it rebound, but then I have to be parted from it and I'm never sure where to do it. So it tells us, and I know we all say the same things, but because these words are true, practical experience. So that means I'm up early, I'm all prayed up and ready to go by the time you call me. And if I have a 6 a.m. call, I may be up at what you think is an ungodly hour. I brush my teeth for you, I've had a cup of tea, I've prayed, and I've meditated. And I'm as spiritually fit as I can be if I start a call at 6 in the morning. That is the earliest I will do. Okay. Oh dear, some people are trying to get into the meeting. I know it's locked. I'm getting texts. Oh well, never mind. So immunity. So I'm going to be kept here safe and protected and carry this message because we can help when everyone else fails around us. I mean, how many times did we all hear, "Why didn't you just stop? Oh, you could have this, you could do that. It's just food." You're right, it is just food, but it doesn't talk to you the way it does to me. Because once I ingest certain foods, I'm off to the races. And it's no good. There's no good golden cup at the end of the race that I will go on. And then again, life will take on new meaning. I used to like to go to Barry's boot camp every day at 5:15. I didn't really want to be up and about here talking to all of you. I would rather just have my thing going on the treadmill, lifting my weights, doing my squats, not being able to walk out of there, and on whatever diet du jour we were on. Very hot. Okay. Trying to give you my full outfit for dinner, but now you're losing half of it. It's just too much. Anyway. And here's the great thing about sponsoring. You get to see people become part of life at last. Part of life at last. You get to see this veil of unhappiness lift. It literally is like, wow. Or if people will call me in, I can tell they're just not thrilled about it, but they just keep calling. And then one morning they call, and there's like a chirp in their voice. And it's like, there it is. There it is. God has entered their heart in a miraculous way. And it's got nothing to do with me because I say, "Good morning, how are you?" They're probably thinking, "Shut up." But that's all God, right? So that's in that time that we spend with God on our own. And just like Bill Wilson got through to Dr. Bob, and he says, because he identified with him. So he'd been going to the Oxford group, they were all praying, they were doing their thing. But there wasn't that one drunk talking to another, which they talk about a lot in AA, and I just really enjoy that. Because we are uniquely qualified. Who else has eaten out of the dustbin, right? Who else has stuck their finger on somebody else's plate and licked it, right? Disturbing food behaviors. Those who are bulimic, you didn't care where you threw up. Those who were lying about how much they were eating, wearing baggy clothes that nobody could see that you weigh 80 pounds. We've all done it. We've all done it. And I never ate in front of you. My friends always used to say, "I don't understand. I don't understand." But all of you do. And when we speak to other people, I tell them my story at the level that they're interested in. And if there's pushback, like it tells us on page 30 or 31, it's not for me to diagnose you. We've got those 15 questions. And sometimes people just aren't ready. I wasn't ready for 16 years, and I was part of the biggest OA fellowship in Los Angeles. You all annoyed me. You're all too smiley, all too happy. Just go away. And now I'm one of those people who annoys other people. So there you have it, right? And it also tells me not to waste my time because I may spoil a later opportunity. This is going by very, very fast. And then there comes up the subject of God, and people will say to me, "Well, I'm not religious." And I'll say, "I didn't ask you if you were religious." "Well, I don't know what I want to believe." Okay. And this is what I always say to people, and probably all heard it before. I'll say, "You have called me today because, in my opinion, you believe that what you are doing isn't working. Well, of course, I wouldn't be calling you if I felt great. And you've started to believe in something outside of yourself, and perhaps it's just the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. And those are the miracles that slowly start to happen. People come, they don't want to turn on their cameras. Suddenly they do, then they come on early, then they want to read. And again, God opens their hearts, not me. It talks a lot about not getting together through the family, which we don't do anymore in these days. It was a much smaller fellowship. I have had people call me and say, you know, somebody gave me your number. I have a sister or a brother. Will you call them? And I have to say, no, I can't. It's not appropriate. So and so gave you the details of that meeting if they want to come. And if they ever come, that's fine. But I can't go off of your pain. And I'm so sorry because it's horrible to see that. I try and work with people in the beginning every day if possible. During COVID, we used to do Zoom. Sometimes I can still do that. And we go fast. I'm not somebody who works the steps in 2 weeks. Okay. I don't believe that is necessary. I think you're going to live if you don't work them through in 2 weeks. And depending on our timing, because sometimes certain people have jobs. I'm sorry, I have to cancel. I'm needed in for a shift. I may say, I have to go into work early because we're still here to live, right? It tells us that we can't give up our whole time to this. So it can be anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks. It just depends on the person. Just depends on the person. So if it's a year, opinion alert, I think that is too long. I definitely give people timing, you know, when they're going to be working their fourth step. And it's not 3 weeks and it's not 2 weeks either. We normally do it within a week. And we, because you know what? My mind is a subtle foe and it'll start saying, oh my God, if I tell her this, if I tell her that, she'll never want to talk to me again. Please, it's okay. My sponsor, Deborah, knows way too many things and she'll never hold me to ransom. And then it talks about not being discouraged. And it's really hard in the beginning if you are a newer sponsor. It's really hard when people leave or if they eat. And again, I don't fire people if they eat because what does it tell me in here? We sat down and we reviewed with him, right? So where were the impediments? Where was somebody not working on their spiritual life, right? Failed to enlarge my spiritual life, which is what happened with Jim. And they said he relapsed 6 times. So in those first 3 steps, but obviously I'm not going to have you if you're eating to start writing your fourth step, but we're going to go through and we're going to find the holes in that foundation because step one is the one step that we have to take 100%. You know, we share, we go, we work on this service plane, and you know, I am armed with the facts today. We need to find somebody who's armed with the facts with themselves. What does that mean? It means I have worked the steps, I've done my inventory, I've made amends, I'm constantly looking at my defects. Shocking, I know I have them. I try and set my ideals right, and I constantly try and be of service in these rooms because we need people who will be of service. And if you're always thinking, well, it's always the same person, I hear you there, I see you there. Well, when was the last time you raised your hand or signed up? That's what I say, you know? So there are ways for everybody to be of service, and there are so many meetings. And one of the most beautiful things now is that we sponsor all over the country and all over the world. And I just love that. I have a sponsee in Ireland, I've sponsored other people in Europe. And that's been a wonderful gift of Zoom because some of you live in outlying areas where there aren't any meetings, or perhaps you don't drive, or you're in a situation that you can't drive. You get to have this gift, and we get to give this to each other. So, with the 54 seconds that I have left, oh my goodness me, you know, it says in the book here that we hope that one day this chip of a book will fall on the tide of alcoholism. We need to keep working really hard in Overeaters Anonymous because there's a lot out there for food that you seek an effect and that you can still get going. And Dr. Bob, where is he, my friend? I'm just going to end with this. What did the man do or say that was different from what others had done or said? It must be remembered that I had read a great deal and talked to everyone who knew or thought they knew anything about the subject of alcoholism. That was me. That was me, from the ashrams to the therapists to the diet doctors, everywhere. But this was a man who had experienced many years of frightful drinking. We've read, let me just finish this. We've read his story, right? He pulled the mattress down. That's how scared he was. And I'll just go on. And he said he'd been cured by the very means I'd been trying to employ, that is to say, the spiritual approach. So if you want to stop eating tonight, start reading the book tonight. Because by tomorrow morning, you are going to forget how bad it was. If you need a sponsor and they say they can't meet with you for a week, take another number. They can't meet with you for 2 days, take another number. Get to work right away. I started working on a Sunday night. That was God having a good laugh with me because he knew what would happen to me again on a Monday morning. And it said he gave me information about the subject of alcoholism, which was undoubtedly helpful. And this last part, and I'll be quiet, of far more importance was the fact that he was the first living human with whom I had ever talked who knew what he was talking about in regard to alcoholism from actual experience. We are all uniquely qualified. We have suffered, and today we aren't. And if you are still suffering today, please keep coming back because this gift is available to all. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Elizabeth.